Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And my intent tonight is that we would be encouraged through these passages. They're promises to us, and I think they were encouraging for me, and maybe this study is all for me, but I don't think I'm alone. So I think it might be encouraging for you too. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What a beautiful promise. The other one, you can just stay in Isaiah. The other one's in Jeremiah, well known, 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And let's just pray for a minute. Lord, I pray that you would take your word, beautiful and true and powerful, and that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. And for those who are discouraged, those who have lost hope, those who are tired, those who are weary, Lord, that this would renew their strength, that you would use your word in each life tonight, Lord, to bring fresh perspective, and that we would cling to these promises. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The context of both of these passages is in reference to the nation of Israel. You know, God had called them as his people, and he gave them his word, his law, and he said, this path that I've laid out, if you obey this, you'll be blessed, because the path of obedience is already blessed. This path of disobedience, there's a curse there. There's consequences there. It's your choice. And the nation of Israel, they chose for themselves to be disobedient to the Lord. And there's always consequences. And so they had many consequences, but one big one is they went into captivity. And they were under their enemy's control, who conquered their city for many, many years. And you can imagine being taken out of your homeland, being somewhere you don't want to be, and thinking it's going to be forever. Now, many of them died during that time, but even those who were born, and I mean, they would just... You could be without hope. Think, you know, have you ever gone through something and you think, this is it? This is it forever. It's just not going to get any better. But it always gets better, because the Lord spoke to them through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, giving promises and giving hope. God was not finished with them. He is not finished with his people. He's not finished with us. And he did give them hope. He always brings hope. He gave them a future. He promised them a future. It won't always be like this. It is like this for a time, for a season, but it won't always be like this. And he promised that he would do a new thing, just like he always does and promises to us. And so that's the context. Now, there's always a broader context, a broader application for us, because the Word of God is alive. It's powerful, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we're his people, and he speaks to us. And he speaks to us that there's a future, and he speaks to us that it's good, and that he will do a new thing, and he will bless. And we know in the New Testament, and he carries that over, where if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So he's always doing something new. Now, I don't know what kind of a year you had last year. There's lots of us in this room, and each one of us had a different kind of year last year. And for some of you, it might have been a great year. It might have been maybe one of the best years of your life. Maybe there was a wedding that was just, you know, a fairy tale wedding. It was just a wonderful blessing in your life or your family's life or that you got to be a part of. Maybe there was the birth of a baby, which is always such a blessing and such a joy. Maybe that happened last year for you. Or that there was a healing. Or there was a new job, a great job. Or maybe a new house or something like that. But blessing upon blessing. And you look back over last year and you praise the Lord. And if that's you tonight, we praise the Lord right along with you. Because he's a good and a gracious God. And I love to see his people blessed. But then there are others who maybe last year wasn't that great of a year. Maybe it was a real hard year. Maybe, like the children of Israel, because of sin and consequences of sin, whether in your own life personally or someone related to you that affected your life. And it was a pretty bad year because of that. Or maybe there were just a lot of trials, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of hard things that you had to go through, or some even devastating things. Maybe there was a death with someone that you loved, someone that you knew, or maybe there was illness, sickness, or broken relationships or strained relationships that, you know, they just still hurt today and you don't want to look back and think about them. Maybe there was depression in your life, or maybe there was an incredible amount of warfare that kind of covered last year. It can be hard for many of us in a lot of ways, and each of us has our own story, and each of us has to look back to see what we went through and to look and see what the Lord had done. For me, it was one of the hardest years of my life so far. I've had a few really tough ones, but last year was pretty hard. It was hard right at the beginning, as we all know, because we got a really bad diagnosis with Damien, with his cancer. So that was the beginning of the year. And that's, of course, no way anyone wants to start a year. That in itself, obviously, was extremely hard. There's a lot of emotions that go on in you and around you because of that. And there's a lot of details. There's lots of just stuff that doesn't go away. But that was hard. And if that was hard enough for me. But it didn't stop there for me, and I don't want this to be a big boo-hoo story. I'm getting to a point. We had, during that time, we had been talking about downsizing, and we thought, well, now's a good time as any. Might as well, if you're in one trial, you might as well just pour them all on, you know? So we ended up downsizing, house sold overnight, and it was just all very quick and put in boxes, they were in boxes for 4 months, and it was just topsy-turvy for me, who likes all their ducks in a row. And all my ducks were in boxes somewhere, and it was a very difficult time. There were some strained relationships, and I don't like that just as much as you don't like that. It hurts. It's painful. And you want it to go away, and you want to fix it, but you can't fix it. And sometimes you wonder, why is there a problem? Why is there conflict? Why is there this tension? I don't know why. And those things by themselves are hard, too. There were a few other minor physical things for me. I had frozen shoulder for a while. That was really irritating. And, you know, you just can't do what you want to do. I had several mammograms, ultrasounds, and almost a biopsy on top of all that. It's like, you know, do I really want to do this? I don't want to do this. I don't want to play. You just kind of want to say, you know, I'm through. It was the worst warfare period of time, months, for me than I have ever experienced. Awful warfare. You know, and we don't talk about detailed kind of, I don't know what you want to call them. They're not symptoms. What are they? In how you experience warfare, because sometimes you don't want to talk about them because you don't want to want, you don't want anybody to know. So I'm not going to tell you. But it was awful, awful, awful. And then on top of that, you know, our hearts were so sad and broken for most of the year because it was a real rough time for a lot of people in our fellowship. So many deaths, so many beloved people that went home to be with the Lord. Hard things, and so many sicknesses and diagnoses from other people and premature babies and miscarriages and just all kinds of things that touch your heart and affect you, and it's hard. And so many people going through so many hard things. And I think that when you're going through a hard time anyway, and then other people are going through a hard time, it just, you just want to cry all the time. You know, you're just sad. So that was my year. It was very hard. It was a battle for me in so many ways. And so for me, for you, if you had a bad year or anytime you have a trial or whatever, what happens is that your perspective gets off because that's all you see. And when it's surrounding you, when you're living it day to day, your perspective gets off very easily, and you try to get it back on, and then especially if there's warfare involved, then, you know, it gets off and on, and then you get so tired, and, you know, it's just this cycle, and it's awful. Well, I don't, and I know you don't, and we know the Lord doesn't want us to carry any of that from last year into this year. Just, no, we don't want to carry it. We don't want to carry old baggage. We don't want to carry hurts. We don't want to carry any of that into a new year. Now, I don't, as I was thinking and praying about all this, this came to my mind, and I don't know why it fits in my mind. So hopefully when I give this to you that it'll all click. You know, you listen sometimes to teaching and you just think, I can't follow them. I don't know where they're going with that one. You know, I don't know. So I don't want you to do that. But if you do, there's nothing I can do about it. It made me think of a friend that I have, and I don't want to say when I have this friend, because I don't want anybody trying to sit there and figure out who it is. So it could have been a friend that I had 30 years ago before we moved here, and it could have been a friend that I had when we moved here 20 years ago, and it could have been 15, it could have been 10, it could have been yesterday. So you don't know who it is, okay? So this friend, she kind of just shared her life with me and her struggles. And she had been neglected and as a child, and really, really a hard life, sexually abused, neglected, and had made some really bad choices because she didn't have the guidance and that kind of a thing, and just really had regretted and felt condemned over. And she came to know the Lord, and of course, you know, he new life, and she's a new creation, and walking with the Lord, but still carrying around that old baggage, and feeling, you know, unworthy, and just not good enough, and all those things that we can struggle with. And even after she'd walked with the Lord and was serving the Lord, she had stumbled in a few areas that would be pretty hard to overcome. Pretty hard to live with after that. But she pressed on, and but she just had this view, this perspective of how she felt and how she thought of herself, thinking that everyone else saw her that way. And though I knew just about everything of her story, of her life. And I would sit and listen to her, and we were talking. You know, we're friends. I love her. I don't see her that way. And we were talking one day, and she was sharing this. This is just hard. You know, I'm this way, I'm that way, or whatever. I said, you know what? Most people don't even know your story. So they don't see you that way at all. Why would they see you that way? They don't know your story. And even if they know your story, like I know your story, I don't look at you as what you were. I look at you as what you are now. And what you are now is a woman who's trying. She's trying to walk with the Lord. She loves the Lord. He's doing good things in your life and through your life. You're ministering to people. So that's how I see you. And I thought, if me as a human can extend that kind of grace and really and truly and honestly look at her and say, I'm sorry, I know your story, but I don't see that. I see what he's doing in you now. If I can do that, how much more the Lord? How much more does he see? He sees through the blood of Christ that washed everything away. He sees us as a new creation. And so that gives us, okay, a different perspective, a different way to look. Which, so in my mind at least, I don't know about yours if you're following me, but it is for us who have, me, went through this year, don't bring that into this year. That is last year. That is what happened last year. Your past, whether your past was when you were a little girl or your past was yesterday, don't bring it into today because the Lord doesn't see it that way because he's making all things new. He has good things. He has a future. He has hope. He's not looking at all of that. Don't you look at all of that. He is loving, he is gracious, and he is merciful. His mercies, they are new every single morning. I was reading in a devotional by, wait a minute, I'm getting my papers mixed up. Okay, I was reading in a devotional by Spurgeon, and he said, "Admirable indeed is the long-suffering of the Savior in bearing with some of us year after year, notwithstanding our provocations, rebellions, and resistance of his Holy Spirit." This is the part I loved. "Wonder of wonders that we are still in the land of mercy." And it is wonder of wonders. It almost makes you laugh. We are still in the land of mercy. All that he knows of us, and he was with every single one of us every single minute of last year, going through, walking with us, carrying us through whatever we went through. And he's merciful, and he's kind, and he's loving. Amazing. In Isaiah 43, it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." And we need to take that to heart. We need to choose to forget, to choose to not remember. Do not remember those former things. Don't relive the painful moments that you had. Don't rehash the conversations that you had. Don't go back there. That was last year. It's over. It's done with. By dwelling on that, you can't change a thing. Yeah, maybe you should have said this and you shouldn't have said that. It's over and done with. Leave it. Choose not to remember. Philippians 3:13, New Testament, what does that tell us to do? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forward to the things that are ahead. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on and moving ahead. And I am very thankful that's my verse for the year. Yes, I'm going to forget and I'm going to press on. I'm going to move on. And I love that we're in Hebrews, and Damien just taught about running that race with endurance and just keep on keeping on and laying aside the weight. And the weight can be all the garbage from last year. Just leave it alone. Choose to forget, to not remember, and to press on. And he said, behold, I will do a new thing. Shall it spring forth? Shall you not know it? He's going to do a new thing. This is a promise that we can cling to. It's in his word. He promises. His mercies are new every morning. The sun is going to rise. He's going to be good because God is good and he only does good. So he's going to do a new thing. I mean, that's very exciting. Especially in light of maybe your year last year. Okay, done. New thing, new beginning. Even though what's today, the 7th? Is it the 7th? 9th? Okay, it's the 9th. Even if, you know, your first couple of days of this year were pretty crummy. I had a real crummy day. A really, really bad warfare, horrible, rotten day. And of course, the first thought that came into my mind is, great, reliving last year. And I thought, no, you gave me this scripture. I am going to forget those things that are behind. Whether they happen or not, I'm forgetting that. This is a new day, crummy day, but it's a new day, and it's not going to stay this way, and I'm going to move on. Promise that we can have, that he is going to do a new thing. And then he says he will make a road in the wilderness. I don't want to be in the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness. You've been in the wilderness with the Lord. You know, you get your BSD, your backside of the desert degree. Oh, we don't want to be out in the wilderness. However, when we are out in the wilderness, he'll make a road for us. He will navigate us through this coming year. I'm not saying it's going to be a wilderness, but if there is little pockets of wilderness, he will navigate us through. He will make a road there so that we can get through. He will make rivers in the desert. And he will bring refreshment and life to us. This year, we're promised this. New thing. A good thing. And those verses in Jeremiah 29:11, that his thoughts toward us, they're good. They're not of evil. He's not looking and saying, well, look what you did. And look at, well, you shouldn't have said that. And you should have handled this different and that. You know, we do that to ourselves. Other people might do that to us. The enemy certainly does that to us. But he doesn't do that to us at all. He said, my thoughts toward you are good. And they are of peace. And there is a future. And there is hope. Hope. And a future. And then he goes on in those verses to say, call to him. Call to me and pray to me. And just to seek him. And he will listen. He will answer. We're to seek him and search him. Search his word. He will speak to us. He will give us the strength and he will give us the grace this year. So I don't know what this year holds for my life. And I certainly don't know what this year holds for your life. But we know who holds our future. We know that the Lord is in control. He will direct our paths. Sunday morning's message was just wonderful with those promises of God, and then that we're to trust in him and have the faith. Is our faith stirred? I hope so. And our faith stirred tonight to grab these promises and to say, Lord, this, okay, you've given me a new day. You have cleansed me. You have washed me. Your mercies are new, and I'm starting fresh. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm just going to trust you. I love that we just sang, Great is thy faithfulness. He's faithful. He's worthy of our trust and our faith. So he doesn't carry over anything from the last year. He doesn't carry over anything from this morning. Isn't that wonderful? We might even still be thinking of something this morning, but he doesn't do that. Clean, washed, fresh, new. That good work that he has begun in each one of us, he will be faithful to complete. And we have the promises of his word, all of his word tells us in Peter that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us the power of his Holy Spirit, on and on and on. We are fully equipped. So I hope that this word has encouraged you as it's encouraged me and given me strength and given me hope and given me a little boost and endurance to run, to keep running, and to know how much he loves me, how much he loves you, and he has good things in store this year. So before we pray, just start thinking about, maybe you already have some of those favorite promises, or maybe a promise that he has given you, so you can share that in your group. Maybe you can share your scripture for the year in your group, or maybe your group, your ladies in your group can pray for you, for the Lord to give you a scripture to hold on to for this year and to be reminded of. And then also maybe, you know, what do you want the Lord to do in your life? I have asked a handful of women to pray for me. Pray for patience. I need patience in all areas, and just patient with people, but just, well, everything. I just need patience. So that's it. You know, what character trait do you need prayed into your life? Share that with your group. Just, God is so big and his word is so wonderful and is so alive. And he is not through with us yet. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word and that you stand behind your word. And thank you that, Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your word, your promises in your word are the same. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take your word and take these things that were shared tonight, Lord, that are from you, that you would plant them in our hearts and in our minds. And I pray for those, once again, who are weary, who are tired, who are coming out of a hard year, that you would renew their strength so that they would run and not be weary, so that they would press on, Lord. I pray for your blessing upon each one for this coming year, Lord. That these women would grow in you. They would be filled with a knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, that they would have a walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in their knowledge of you. Would you strengthen them with might and your power by your glorious Holy Spirit, for all patience, for long suffering, with joy and with thanksgiving. We praise you, Lord, that you are faithful and your faithfulness is great. Just go before us, Lord. Bless our group time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.